Hi and welcome back. Today we speak to Chris Buckham. He is the co-founder and CEO of Kooi. Kooi is an Australian BPO. It does offshore staffing services, but it offers high-value assisted services, almost akin to a management consultancy where he helps you build out your processes and works alongside your business and provides the staffing to build a better operation within your business. This is the higher end of high-value outsourcing. It isn't necessarily much more expensive or even more expensive, but it's focusing on quality of service delivery as opposed to just getting a bum on a seat. So it was a really good conversation I had with Chris about this. Also, we're in the thick of the coronavirus at the moment, so inevitably our conversation starts with the coronavirus and the actions Chris and Kooi had to take to move their team from being obviously a centralized office-based team out into a work-from-home structure. The last few weeks has been crazy for everyone involved in the coronavirus, and you know, it's now touching almost everyone in the world and every business in the world. So the outsourcing industry, such as Chris and Kooi, has had to cope and adapt. And of course, all of the clients, the businesses across the world, have also had to cope and adapt. So, you know, we discuss that relatively extensively in this podcast as well. I also have a good detailed chat about work from home with Chris, about the pros and cons of work from home and whether it's going to be a permanent solution for Kooi going forward. So I really enjoyed this conversation. If you want to get in touch with Chris or know any more about what we mentioned in this podcast, go to our show notes. You can find all of, you can find this episode and all of our other episodes at outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Payoneer, the leading global B2B payment solution for the outsourcing industry. If you're a BPO or freelancer or have outsourced staffing, then Payoneer makes sending and receiving international payments super simple, quick, secure, and of course, low cost. They have some fantastic features which have been designed specifically for the needs of this industry. You can easily manage payments between your clients, staff, and suppliers across multiple currencies and international bank accounts. Payoneer help make outsourcing easy, so consider them now. And if your BPO, clients, or suppliers aren't already using Payoneer, then ask them why not. For a limited time, Payoneer is offering a $50 bonus if you sign up now. So go to register.payoneer.com/OA or go to our website and we will have links there. Look, it's now the 23rd of March. We are in the thick of the coronavirus. Countries are shutting down all around the world. In Manila, we're actually a little bit ahead of the curve in that there's been pretty much a full lockdown for the last week now, maybe a little bit more. A lot of the businesses here have had to really, adapt to the lockdown. To get staffing, to get computers to staffing, to ensure they've got internet. So I just want to kind of get your views on Corona, and then we can go more broad and, you know, talk about work from home and high-value outsourcing. But initially, I suppose, you know, can you just recap the last week of what the coronavirus has been in terms of Kooi, in terms of service delivery, and in terms of the sort of sprint you've had to done to adapt?
Sure. Well, it's honestly speaking, has been, the last week has been a blur, even the last 2 to 3 weeks. Just the speed at which this issue has moved, it's caught so many people off guard. I mean, I think first and foremost, it is awful what is going on. The impact it's having globally is far bigger than anything, we do day to day. It truly is awful. And you know, from a Philippines standpoint, I've been in the Philippines for 13 years. This is very much home for me. I'm deeply concerned about the impact it's already having immediately, locally, with, you know, just how people survive day to day. It is going to have a significant impact. I think definitely, I think the president and they made the right call. I think it was a good call, making getting the closure done last Monday, albeit suddenly, but I think it has turned out to be the right decision, especially if you look at where, you know, other nations are moving to, you know, quickly now. You know, my home country, Australia, being one. But I think that's a good decision, and they've had to make that. Unfortunately, though, obviously the impact is going to be significant across a huge percentage of the population in this country who very much live day to day.
Yeah, it's a very fragile economy here, isn't it? And as you say, there's so many people that have maybe a day's savings or possibly a week's savings. It's and there's not the same safety net. There's no sort of social safety nets as you do in the other countries. So it's a kind of perilous strategy. But yeah, I suppose it's I don't know. You're just trying to decide between a number of evils, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, very, very difficult situation. So, but we are all in it together. I mean, there's not a country in the world that's not impacted at the moment. So I think it's literally the only thing people are talking about. And you can't get away from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose that's a segue into the outsourcing and how it's coping in terms of coronavirus. And, you know, it's notably a unique industry in that all of the staffing are here, but obviously they're serving the global economy and countries across the world. A lot of your clients, I believe, are Australian. So, you know, more than most other industries, it's so interlaced across the well-being of the other world economies. I suppose initially, before we look at its impact to the client side, what have you had to do personally and operationally to adapt over the last week to cope with lockdown?
Well, the partial lockdown that was announced two Fridays back, we implemented about a 30% automatic work from home for Kiwi starting on the Monday. And then it was mid-Monday afternoon, rumors started circulating in the market that President Duterte was going to hold an updated press conference and announce an enhanced quarantine, which he subsequently did. And it was at that point that we moved to a complete deployment of work from home. So we've got, I suppose, we've always had business continuity and resiliency plans as part of our business model. It's something we talk to all of our clients about in the beginning. Our leadership team have all come out of big corporate environments before we went into Kiwi, before we started Kiwi. So we've had a lot of experience at the bigger end of town running these sort of programs going way back to 2008, 2009 financial crisis. So we were ready, which is good. We deployed and so far, 6 days in, it's going pretty well. I'm happy with how we've been able to mobilise the staff. There's a long way to go, and there's a whole range of things we're now going to have to implement. But in terms of getting up and running, supporting the client base, we were ready to go on Tuesday morning, which was great.
Well done. Yeah, it's been a huge scramble for all of outsourcing and BPO, because again, we collectively, the industry supports so many core operational functions of businesses across the globe. And when people aren't able to turn up physically to the office, then, you know, really got to take some serious measures to ensure that there is business continuity. So it's been a big sprint. And on that note, then, there's a lot of talk about work from home. It's kind of trending. The hashtag WFH H, if I get that right, is out there a lot now. People and the world, it seems, are going on a journey of discovery about, what is work from home? How does it fit into my business? How can I incorporate it? Whereas for us, I think we're already there, or, I say us, but outsourcing generally, people that work across the globe, there's a lot of tools, there's a lot of sort of things that we do that's already in place that enables this. What is your position on work from home and maybe how this, the coronavirus, might affect that?
Yeah, well, I mean, as a business, work from home has not been something we've offered in the past. Our philosophy and business model has been built around having teams in the office. We stand by that. I think a huge part for us is around that the connection, the interaction, collaboration, which is why we run everything out of the office. In this situation, I think it was interesting because, when the announcement was made on Monday night and then there was a subsequent press conference, I think it was the first question that came out was, well, what about the BPO industry? Because you're talking about millions of employees across the country. And that was really the logical question because it was, well, these are not local companies. These are businesses supporting, Fortune 500s and, the top Australian banks and, that was one of the first questions that came out. And so the BPO industry, as you know, Derek, has been given an exemption to work through the corona pandemic. However, there's travel restrictions and these type of things which kind of limit transport. Our view was, so technically we are able to open. I did pop into the office a couple of days ago just to, check on in the building. We can technically operate. But we've made the call not to. I think the general message going around and what people are really worldwide are trying to, the message is stay home. And so we are going to do our part and really stick to that. And so that we're not bringing people into the office, even though we will probably be a little bit more productive for certain roles, having access to their full stack, all of their infrastructure. But we're very much going along with the, with really this global movement to staying home. The setup itself, yeah, I mean, you alluded to, there are a lot of tools out there that we are utilizing. Heavy communication between manager and team. So we have daily calls, a morning call and an afternoon call. Like we would in the office. In the office, we have a huddle where we all stand up and go over to one of the whiteboards to go through stats. It's no different here. We're just doing it remotely, and a heavy focus on MI reporting and KPIs. So I think that's another sort of important element of the QE business model. We build in and have a heavy focus on key performance indicators, key risk indicators, to enable us to manage our client relationship and use those stats to drive forward conversation. So that has become really useful and paramount for us in working in this environment because it allows our managers to see the stats on a daily basis and then allows us to go and then manage client expectations in what is clearly a defining moment around the world, and we've got there's a lot of nervousness that's going to continue. But providing that transparency, visibility, which we do through video conferences, Zoom, etc., we feel is absolutely paramount to getting through this.
And there's a lot of sort of foundational value there, isn't there? In that you're creating these structures. You have the stand-up huddles, you have all of the metrics and KPIs, and these are systems and structures that allow you to create offshore teams so that they're functioning well, functioning at a high level. And it's not ideal, as you say, to have people then working from home, but because you've got this foundational infrastructure in place, it transfers easily. And then I think it's, we talk, there's a lot of talk now about BCPs, about business continuity plans. And I think, the conversation's going to get bigger once all of this settles down. But are people prepared with their business for, you know, things that aren't on the radar. And I think having all of these processes as well, being offshore already, just opens up opportunities for the business to sort of evolve, to adapt to whatever comes by. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's, as I've been talking to our client base over the last week, that is one of the key messages I'm getting across is, you know, guys, you know, always remember, because of the decision you made to invest with Kui and to invest in the Philippines, you have an extended team here. It's not just your team in Sydney or Melbourne or wherever you are. You've got capability here. We use the term team extension a lot. I really like that term. And that whenever we're going through onboarding a new client or even just pitching to a new client, we really focus on that. It is team extension. We are not, it's not just a random person over the other side of the world. And our client base have really warmed to that. You'll see across our customers, several of them have Kui staff on their own websites with, you know, bios and these type of things. So heavy focus on team extension, and that is, once again, is going to be key for getting through this, because I think people in the onshore locations will need to leverage more of their offshore, given all of the uncertainty.
The outsourcing industry is, in many respects, it's counter-cyclical, and what we're going into is possibly, you know, one of the biggest recessions in history. And, you know, if companies survive, they might be limping out of this. The BPO industry, in many respects, is counter-cyclical in that it is generally, you know, there are cost savings achievable, and there's abundant, accessible resources for less than what it would cost you in your hometown. So, you know, do you see, is the Philippines ready to respond when there is a resurgence, when everyone wants to get back to work, when the lockdowns are lifted, to be able to sort of take up that slack? And do you see this as a sort of potentially positive opportunity over the horizon?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you look at just the growth of the industry, the sheer growth in the last 8-10 years, but even just in the last few years, particularly around SME outsourcing, which is what we do. I mean, even now, just, you know, we were in a lockdown, we're in a crisis. I'm still getting 20 to 30 CVs a day for a role we've advertised. So the talent pool is there, the willingness. I genuinely think the Philippines will come through this stronger. I think the Philippines is a fantastic investment opportunity for companies in the West.
I think that's showing its strength, isn't it? Because, you know, even during lockdown, there's still pretty much full functionality of the entire industry. It's still serving the world. And there, you know, there's a lot of offshore staffing, which is really mission critical functions. And it's carrying on. And as you say, there's still incredible resources out there. And they're all primed, ready to go for when the world is sort of coming back. You know, where do you see inquiries? Do you think sort of people will sheepishly come back, or it could be a little while before we see sort of business upturn again? This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you're already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your outsourcing practices. We list over 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website, host this leading outsourcing podcast, and have over 5,000 pages of content. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. We offer everything from light brokerage, co-managed services, through to fully managed solutions. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Mention that you're a podcast listener, and we will give you special attention plus a 10% discount. This is for a limited time only. Go to outsourceaccelerator.com/quote.
Well, on a global scale, I think it's too early to tell. I mean, I'm already seeing, just because the situation is changing so rapidly. I mean, every day we're getting new bits of information come through. But our view is, first and foremost, is stability for the existing client base. But we already are starting to see some interest. Companies we talked to previously reaching out for more information, and I think that's definitely related to what's going on. There will no doubt be opportunities to grow as a result of this. And I remember this situation, this crisis, I don't think anyone really saw it coming. From a BCP standpoint, we had always talked about in-country challenges. So the scenarios we ran through with clients were around typhoons and earthquakes and political unrest and these type of things. We actually never modeled a pandemic, and we never ran through a model whereby not even just the sending side and the receiving side were impacted, the whole world impacted. So it really is unique. But with that, it will definitely present opportunities for companies in the West, just to help them bounce back and eventually help them grow again.
Yeah, I think everyone was blindsided by the nature of this pandemic. And, you know, BCP, business continuity planning, is a big subject in the Philippines, because there is a lot of fear around the infrastructure here and that it can continue if there are typhoons and disruptions. And again, the industry is so sophisticated in protecting against those things and preparing. And then I think the entire global economy has pretty much been blindsided by this recent pandemic. You spoke previously about working from home, and, you know, we have a sort of uneasy relationship, I suppose, with the work from home. The outsourcing industry, I suppose, feeds off the same concept, which is distributed workforce, which is having everything in the cloud, which is, you know, not needing to be physically shoulder to shoulder to be able to get good work done. Yet, you know, generally the professionalized services of the offshore outsourcing industry, I think generally the best model is to have everyone in an office in proper facilities and having proper sort of management and operational structures. So I completely agree with you on that. Also, I think something that we have strong alignment, you know, you mentioned as well, is the level of sophistication of management and operational oversight that you put into your operations and the operations of your clients. This sounds like a really high value professional services firm. You know, I think outsourcing can often get confused with sort of, you know, $3 an hour people on Upwork and freelancers around the globe. And sometimes it's important to really stress the difference between, you know, what is sort of odd job project outsourcing versus the really high value professionalized services. So can you talk to that a little bit? Like, how do you see the high end, high value outsourcing that you practice?
Yeah, we run a managed service in Kiwi. So that is the one and only model we run. So I so often describe it, we probably sit at the other end from a seat leasing arrangement. There's plenty of companies doing seat leasing, and there's hundreds of thousands of people working in that model. We've taken a different view by going with that managed service. I think really just gets back to, if you know, when you look at the benefits around outsourcing, there are several that are often talked about. But when you get beyond cost, one of the things we always reference back to is around growth. And by growth, we mean growth for both for Kiwi as we take on more roles and more responsibilities, but growth for our clients. And our clients have spoken, you know, a lot about this in the last couple of years, in terms of how, by using a team extension, by partnering with Kiwi, they've been able to grow. And to date, not a single client of ours have reduced headcount onshore. It's all been about growth opportunities. So whether that's freeing up people onshore to go and take on, a new role, push more in the sales space, new products, etc., or just really to be able to do the things that they've always wanted to do. That's where the partnership is being born. But to do that, we can't offer a seat leasing model. It has to be managed service. It has to have oversight. It has to have innovation. So we have in-house a business engineering team who go in at the migration stage and design and define KPIs, define workflows. We look at process maps and all these type of things. And then once the role is live, we're always looking to innovate in and around automation, just reducing manual processes and the like, which is as is a little bit counterintuitive, I speak, in the seat leasing model. And I've talked about this in several forums because I feel the seat leasing model does tend to steer away a little bit from innovation because the seat leaser, where is the incentive for a seat leaser to create efficiency and reduce headcount? Whereas we've looked at it differently. When we create those efficiencies, we go back to the client and we're proud to go back to the client and say, we've freed up 0.2 of an FTE, give us more work. Right? So that's the model we've built, and we've found some success in that in the 2.5 years we've been operating, because clients like that. They like it. Our client base are SMEs. They're often not overly tech savvy themselves, even down to things like Excel and these type of things. So we found success in that model. And I think when you think about why people want to outsource, growth is so key. But to get that growth, we've got to be as efficient as possible. Being efficient means always looking at where we can automate and improve.
Absolutely. And the comparable model that you mentioned, the seat leasing, it is commonplace now. And if people aren't aware, that model is effectively you pay the salary of the person and then you pay a seat fee, which goes to the BPO, which helps to manage obviously those facilities and the HR of that person. The upside is that it's fully transparent and potentially the kind of cheaper end. Because you're just paying the costs as they occur. With you, it's more of a wrapped, managed service. Now, on the surface, those can be sort of at a slightly higher price point, but what you are getting is greater efficiency. You're getting all of your executive experience. You're getting your own input into how to build their teams, build the processes, and manage those people. How do you see Or how do you manage the delineation between what then becomes your problem or a failure of the management of an operation versus just an operation not working? Do you often sort of get clashes in expectations and deliverables?
Look, we like any operation, we experience hurdles. We make errors. Our guys make errors. It happens. We're human. The key really is how we react. So what are the controls we put in place once an incident happens? What additional training do our guys need? And throughout and ingrained in everything we do is transparency and visibility. I personally have spent a lot of time going back and forth to Australia over the last couple of years. I mean, I won't be doing that for a while, that's for sure. But now it's all about getting on video, getting in front of the clients, and having a conversation. So we have a weekly management Zoom meeting with all clients, and that is over and above what the team will talk about on a day-to-day basis. So there's a huge amount of visibility. Reporting an MI becomes absolutely key. So we build, as part of our business and engineering team, we build KPIs. We run everything by service level agreements. So daily reports, as end of day summaries, and in this work from home environment we've had to move to pretty quickly, that becomes key for the managers who are managing these functions.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? Just to compare the professionalism of these things, and they're not just getting a bum on a seat; they're actually getting sophisticated operational structures, the executive talent that manages these processes. You know, I see so many people that venture overseas, and especially everyone being entrepreneurially minded, they think they can just sort of build a team, pick up staff, and, you know, hit the ground running. But there are enormous kind of hurdles to not to outsource, but outsource effectively, because there's a lot of nuance, isn't there, in terms of building structures, building offshore processes, and then also customizing it to the nuances of the Filipino team.
Yep, absolutely. And that's where we are drawing on our expertise, our leadership team. We have a really strong leadership team. We've all, as I mentioned earlier, we've all come out of big corporate roles, both across banking, consulting, and call centers. So it's a really good mix, and that's why we're doing this. That's the value we want to bring. My goal, and my job title is really, I'm promoting the Philippines to the West, right? So as an Aussie, it's the best of both worlds for me. I get to help Aussie companies and companies in other countries as well, grow and achieve their goals through outsourcing, and we also get to create really meaningful, high value add roles in country as well. If I look across the suite of roles that we do, none of them are boring. They've all got, you know, there's components that enable learning, growth. They're good roles to be in, and that for me is it's wonderful to be able to oversee and lead a company that is creating those opportunities in country.
Outsourcing in its in the higher value space like you're doing here, it's closely aligned to management consultancy, really, isn't it? You're sort of deep diving into a business and you're adding a lot of value into different operations. Do you sometimes, you know, now that you've touched a lot of companies, you have a lot of experience in all these different departments, you've got the skills and resources here, do you sometimes almost, you know, by proxy take over a company and sort of build it out to a better spec? Or is it sort of, you know, is it sort of gently and I suppose there's a balance there, isn't there?
Yeah, look, I mean, we certainly, we are consulted on, you know, a lot across our client base. So it's definitely not a dictator kind of, you know, on the onshore and the offshore. They engage us across a range of topics and trust us across a range of topics. The consulting team that we have in-house are actually now regularly being booked by our clients and by other clients to go in and do consulting work for their onshore business. And we charge a reasonable sort of fee for that. That's, you know, a lot cheaper than if they were getting it in Australia. But they've got access to, you know, a high quality consulting team here who can go in and help with their workflow or run Excel training for their guys onshore. So it has opened up by having this model in place. I think it has opened up more doors for us and more opportunities, which is great.
It is good, isn't it? Because I just see markets generally, everything is a race to the bottom. Everything's a price war. Everything becomes commoditized. And I think as soon as the outsourcing industry is just completely commoditized, people are missing the point. You know, it's not just about having someone. It's not just having a resource, you know, because you can get people for a dollar a day. I mean, it's not about that. It's actually about having effective work and having the strategy and the leadership in place so that these things get done effectively, so that the client is well served.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, our biggest client started with 2 headcount. They now have 15 that support all aspects of their business. We've flown half of the team to Australia throughout the year for training. They've changed platforms recently. We've gone through all of that. It gets back to team extension. We are definitely not an outsourced team. We are absolutely ingrained in everything they do day to day, and that's the same across all clients, whether they've got 1 headcount with us or 15.
Is there anything you do recommend people start with? If you know, is customer service or sales ideal, or is it generally administrative roles? Where are the sweet spots for SMEs to venture out and try outsourcing?
Yeah, it obviously depends on, you know, where your business is at, where your growth plans are. We've had quite a lot of interest in new roles come on board in the CRM space and managing their client databases, lead generation, and some outbound sales. Really, that sort of the heavy lifting work to you know, the sort of pre-sales coming in. So rather than your sales guys spending, you know, huge amounts of time trying to generate leads and search for people on LinkedIn and all that kind of stuff, we take a lot of that out and do it in-house and feed into the sales process.
Yeah, and it just allows you to really focus on those activities, as opposed to sometimes sales and marketing in these businesses can get left behind.
Yeah, that's right. So that's a good entry point. The other thing we offer is, once again, that our business engineering team will actually go in and do a review of your business up front. So we have a series of it's a consulting arrangement. Essentially, we go in and we ask questions, we do interviews with staff, and we can actually build a role. Or a set of roles that they could look at outsourcing. Because often, I mean, small businesses, small medium businesses we work with, they're doing this for the first time. They may have some ideas, but they generally always looking for guidance. And so we're able to use our experience both when we did this with big corporates, but also what we're doing on the ground day to day now to go in and say, you know, have you thought about this or that? Or how would this role look for you on shore if you had X, Y, Z in place. So it's that initial collaboration and insight, and then it's over to the business owner to make a decision, and hopefully they make a decision to invest in the Philippines.
Absolutely, and I think it's so valuable at this time, the environment that we're in now with coronavirus, the pandemic, everyone's sort of in such a nihilistic kind of mood to sort of talk about the upsides of business and to talk about outsourcing, because it's just so common to see such incredible growth, such success stories, you know, to take a team of one person that grows up to 15 people. And it's so common within outsourcing. And, you know, it just shows that the economy is typically very bustling and resistant. So it's exciting, and hopefully we can return to that very quickly, and, you know, also hopefully outsourcing being counter-cyclical can help support businesses in the West as they start to come out of this pandemic. If anyone wants to talk to you, Chris, or know more about Kui, or, you know, just learn about outsourcing generally, how would you recommend they do that?
So they can connect with us through our website, mykui.biz. Facebook pages and all of that good stuff as well. If you want to speak to me directly, it's Chris, KRIS.Buckham, BUCKHAM at mykui.biz. I'm happy to have a conversation, whether you're a business abroad or a business locally. I'm passionate about outsourcing. It was the reason I was sent here 13 years ago, was to help build a big corporate's shared services. And this is very much home for me now. So I love talking all things outsourcing, which is why I love catching up with you, Derek, because I know you also share a similar passion.
That was Chris Buckham, the CEO of Kui. If you want to get in touch with Chris or know any more about what we spoke about, go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. And as always, if you want to send us an email, ask us anything, then just email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.